I was white, male and ageing, and I decided that ought to be changed.
Hello and welcome to the Sound of Football podcast. I'm Graham Sibley, and as usual, I'm joined by Jan Bilton.
Hello.
And Terry DeFellin.
Hello.
Oh, it's not long to go now. It's nearly Christmas, isn't it?
Ooh.
Oh, have you sent all your Christmas cards yet?
No. Do you know, Santa was in my street this very night.
We'll see.
Yeah. Somebody had a sleigh on the back of a trailer, on the back of a car.
Right.
And they couldn't turn around at my cul-de-sac, which was hilarious. And that's... Santa was no help.
No help at all. See, obviously, his flying reindeer weren't anywhere to be seen, were they?
Yeah. They work for Southern Rail.
Damn. Well, that's it. No presents for anyone this year. Well, I'm sure kids all over the country are busy writing their letters to Santa, aren't they? And they're not the only people writing letters at the moment, are they?
No, they're not.
No.
We've got letters going on all over the place.
Yeah.
Yes.
And today, five old white blokes.
Yep.
Wrote a letter, didn't they?
They did.
Because they weren't happy about things.
About old white blokes. They weren't happy about old white blokes.
Now, to be fair, we do a lot of moaning about old white blokes, and we're three old white blokes ourselves, aren't we?
We're middle-aged.
Yeah, okay.
We're not quite at the old white bloke stage, but we're getting there.
Yes. Mm. Terry, do you want to tell us who the five guys were and who they were writing to?
Okay, so they were writing to the Football Association.
Yeah.
These guys are David Bernstein, David Davis, Greg Dyke, Alex Horn, and Lord David Treisman, all of whom have held prominent positions in the FA fairly recently or almost immediately recently.
Greg Dyke's case,
he's barely taken his whoopee cushion off the chair and put it in his box.
Yeah, I mean, he only stepped down in August. Greg Clark is now the chairman. But, and that list of names there, you've got three former chairmen of the FA going back about eight seasons now. Mm. And they have written to the Culture Minister.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, it's the DCMS, the Department of Culture, Sports and Media, or Culture, Media and Sport.
But it's their parliamentary committee
that
they've written to, asking them to get involved and to legislate against the structure of the FA.
This isn't going to happen, though, is it?
No, it's not. The Football Association is a private organisation and receives no money from the taxpayer. It's not publicly accountable. They can do what they like.
Yes.
So the only way that the government can really intervene is, well, they can't, because FIFA have extremely strict rules about government intervention in national federations.
Because ever since Labour got in 97, there's been rumblings and harumphings from low-ranking ministers who like to think they like a bit of football.
Mm.
And they say, oh, we're going to go and mix things up. We're going to change things up around here. And that's almost 20 years ago now.
That's
and
right.
Absolutely nothing has changed.
Nothing has changed.
No.
There have been a succession of different chief executives and chairmen who have come in with various hues of reforming agenda.
Yeah.
And as far as I can discern, nothing substantial has changed.
Was it Tony Banks? Was he?
Tony Banks was given the sports minister job. The first Labour government when they won power in 1997, and it was regarded as being a popular decision because he was a well-known backbencher, and as a West Ham fan, he at least knew some of the football players' names, and he was a genuine football fan as opposed to, you know, many of the MPs, even on the Labour side, who claim to be football fans, but frankly, we're a little bit too busy for football.
Yes.
A bit too busy being MPs. Mm. And he came in with very much an idea that, you know, they needed to have a football association that reflected the new attitude going forward, new Labour, things can only get better. And also a year after Euro 96, which I think is regarded as being something of a progressive tournament and made us all think that, you know, we were going to have a bright future. English football was going to be fun and exciting after such a fun and exciting tournament in which England almost won, and nothing happened.
Now the timing of this letter, Jan, it couldn't really come at a worse time, could it?
No.
For the FA,
I mean, they're on their knees with the things that are very, very serious.
Yeah.
You could be forgiven, or the FA could be forgiven for... I mean, they put a very nicely worded acknowledgement to the letter on their website today. If it was me, I would have been a little bit more pointed, I think.
Yeah.
And have said, look, we've got some big fish to fry here.
Yeah. Or
can we discuss this at another date?
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's a matter of national importance that we have to deal with at the moment.
But that's exactly why they've done it, isn't it, Terry?
I can only assume that that's why they've done it.
Yeah.
That they feel that the situation has, in their minds, become so urgent.
Yeah.
Or that they feel that the FA will never make any kind of meaningful change unless you kick them very hard where it really hurts at their lowest possible point. And I don't imagine it gets much worse for them. Well, maybe it will get worse for them. I mean, we can sincerely hope not. But this is the best possible time for the FA's enemies to come out and beat them down. Now, Greg Clark, in this letter to the FA Council, which was published on the FA website, described the timing of the letter as ill-judged. And it may well prove to be so, because it might well be that, in fact, people will rush to the FA's defence and feel that this is really not an appropriate time to be launching some kind of coup on the FA, and that it seems unnecessarily political.
Mm.
But we will see. We do know that, and there's an awful lot of antagonism and frustration with the Football Association going back many years. And I do wonder whether or not many people feel that a better run organisation may avoid a good number of problems that the FA and the English football faces.
Mm. What do we think is the reason for the timing of? I mean, what you said, because of the kicking them when they're down. But what does this gang of five have to benefit from raising this now? What's their end game, do we think? I mean, I'm asking legitimately because I don't know.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of is that they have genuine concerns. I mean, they've obviously been frustrated. Treisman has gone down before, saying that he found it one of the most frustrating jobs that he's ever had, and he couldn't really. He felt he couldn't do anything in it.
Mm.
But I think with these guys do feel like they've got unfinished business with the FA, all of them. But I don't see how, if they all know how difficult and impossible a job it is, I don't know how they think that Greg Clark is going to do anything that they haven't been able to do before.
Mm.
Or whether or not someone is going to start an uprising from within. Because
I can only think that that's what they might think that might happen. I mean, they must know that they are not going to be the people that would inherit the FA if there was some kind of uprising, as you say, if the board were all kicked out and the council was suddenly, you know, thrown out and there was that kind of widespread reform. They wouldn't get that, because that's not how these kind of things work. You don't give the job to the people who instigate the coup. They're usually actually the second up against the wall in these matters.
Yeah.
It's usually someone, a third party, a third boot emerges.
Well, this is the most intriguing thing, isn't it? Yeah, because the one of the key points of their attack has been the lack of diversity within the FA.
Mm.
The FA that they ran for quite a few years.
Yeah.
And they're saying, look, you know, about how many of them are over 80? I think 10% of the council are over 80. and there's actually, I think it's over 60% of them are over 60.
Mm.
And there's very, very few women there. There's very, very, very little ethnic diversity there as well.
Yeah, there are four out of 120 members that are from any kind of ethnic background.
Right.
And six women.
Right.
Out of 120.
Yeah.
On the
six
council.
Women on the council. And six. There's only one on the board, isn't there?
Sorry? Yes.
Heather Rabatz.
Yeah.
Who they tried to oust during the Eva Caniero business. Because she was defending Eva Caniero, and they tried to bounce her out.
Mm.
So really, their record on diversity is shocking.
It is, yeah. Horrific. Yeah.
So basically, when we're looking at is these three are perhaps, because I'm looking at the three names who were former chairman and thinking, well, you've actually got no power when you're in that role, have
no,
you?
No.
So obviously someone else, there is obviously a block vote there, or there is a movement from within that you cannot block. And that is coming from the county FAs, isn't it?
Yeah, you would imagine it has to be the county FAs.
Yeah.
It has to be the council itself.
Yeah.
The and large rump of...
There are over 50-odd county FAs, and most of them have representation on the council, don't they?
So. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So these are the people who are, who probably you imagine are the people who have to be reformed. I don't know what the structure is and the criteria is for getting becoming a member of the council or becoming head of your county FA. I imagine that there is probably some kind of vote involved. But yeah, like most of these things, you have enough difficulty finding enough volunteers in the first place, mm, let alone credible candidates that you can put up,
mm,
to represent, to take over.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll take a county. Let's take our county, Surrey. Let's say that there was an issue with the chairman of that county FA and you wanted them ousted. The likelihood is that they would have enough power base, enough friends that they would always get voted on the, mm-hmm, and retained. Until basically they wanted to leave. It's unlikely that anybody new would actually be able to come along and take them along. Now, I'm using Surrey as only an example.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't remember who the chairman of the Surrey, yeah, County FA is, and it's got nothing. This has nothing to do with them. It's simply an illustration.
Sure.
So it could be any county. Yeah.
But it's likely that with a largely volunteer base, that it's going to be the most belligerent, thick-skinned ones who will just stick around, yes, and stick around with it, because of course if it's going to be a difficult job, if you are giving up your time for it, and yes, you are going to be the ones who
that's
are
the other
be,
side of the, yeah, coin is, yeah, that it, is that I mean Gilmore Girls fans will know the character Taylor Dozy, who's the speakersman of Stars Hollow and continually gets voted in as such, and people always complain about him, but he's the only guy who will do the job. Nobody else wants to do the job. And it's not a dissimilar situation. These guys are martyrs to their cause, and they would say, oh, you know, everybody complains, but nobody does anything about it. I mean, your local village council, district council, are not necessarily made up of the fittest people to do the work, but they are made up of the people who have got the time and the belligerence to actually do the job in the first place.
Mm.
But that's that, and therein is your problem. This is your problem with local politics in general,
yeah,
frankly, is that it's made up of busybodies, well, frankly.
the whole of the FA Council, it's, as you say, 120 people, but it's built like the House of Lords. It's got like, well, you know, you've, yeah, got to have so many people there. You've got to have, this group's got to have another load of people there. Mm. There's got to be someone representing the Premier League. There's got to be someone, yeah, from the Referees Association.
Yeah. Yeah.
The League Managers Association has a seat on there.
And there's a whole bunch of life members.
Yeah, oh, yeah,
well,
yeah, yeah.
So it's exactly, yeah, like, so the House of Lords.
Like the House of Lords.
So you can't be sacked.
Yeah.
Yes. So and it makes it almost impossible to reform.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
Because it would be turkeys voting for Christmas.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's like you would never get rid of the House of Lords, because the House of Lords would have to pass the motion to get rid of the House of Lords.
Yes,
it can't happen.
It would actually be easier to get rid, yeah, of the House of Lords, because you could actually eventually bounce the House. You can eventually bounce the House of Lords.
Yeah.
The Commons can do that.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen very often, but it can happen. And so, but I don't think you can do that to the FA Council.
Which is possibly why they are now inviting the government to get involved, asking politicians to actually get involved with it, because maybe they're the only people that can make a change.
Because, you know, our government and politicians don't have enough on their plate as it is.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And of course, we've got a Conservative Party in power, and they're always thinking about the greater good, aren't they?
Well, I mean, they're all about the working man, aren't they?
They are indeed.
They've,
yes,
proved that over decades.
No one could ever describe this government as being self-interested.
No.
No.
No. No. No one.
No.
No. No one. No one ever.
No.
Okay. So let's say then that someone is going to come along and sweep away the old guard of the FA, build it up from the ground again, and we've got new FA coming out. What are they going to do? How are they going to improve things from the grassroots? And first off, can we get a good idea of what we mean when people say, what about grassroots football? It's the most important thing we've got here.
Mm.
What does grassroots football mean to you, Yang?
To me, it means the next generation,
right,
of players at all levels of the game, and obviously international.
Yeah,
well.
So you're talking about kids football, basically, up to about 17. Then,
yeah.
All levels up to there. What about you, Terry?
It means as many people playing as football as possible at,
yeah,
any level and at any age,
yeah,
and any gender.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not just for...
And not for the purposes of professional football, it's just for...
Just, yeah.
And the idea being is that amongst all of that, we'll produce 11 decent players that can play for England.
Yeah. Now, that's got problems mixed up in it anyway.
Yeah.
Now, the fact of bringing in the government or bringing in politicians to come and help out with this... doesn't sit very well with that lowest level of the game, because 80% of kids' football is played on local authority pitches. Local authority pitches cost money.
Mm.
But they've also got local authority facilities. That costs money. Local authorities do not have money.
No.
So,
and as we found out today, that what money they do have, they're going to be spending on our elderly care, which we've got a massive black hole in, and it's not being funded properly.
Yeah.
And it's going to be local authorities are going to be having to spend that. They're not going to have any money to spend on football pitches.
No.
And frankly, nor should they.
Yeah.
If they are going to be compelled to spend it on social care,
yeah,
which arguably they shouldn't be, but that's another argument altogether. But these are the problems that they have.
Mm.
If you're getting government to involve themselves in a leisure activity, then things are pretty bad.
Yeah.
And to the point where we do have to ask, really, are they that bad?
Right.
Well, I think that the situation is not good, but this is still very much a matter, a private enterprise. It's a private matter.
Yeah.
Football is a leisure activity.
But there is a public health involvement here, because you could say if you've got a fit and healthy younger generation, if you have a younger generation that wants to go out and kick a ball about, that's very good, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah.
But you want to know that they've got good facilities, that they've got warm showers.
They're not
going to be touched up by their coaches.
I'm not disagreeing with you. And the whole being touched up by your coaches, but that is very much a matter for law and enforcement as well. Now, that is not to say that there can't be root and branch reform at the FA grassroots level to combat harassment and abuse. But if you're talking about the FA as a body that runs football, then I'm not certain that government intervention is really, entirely called for. If there is a network of perverts and deviants and paedophiles at work, then for me, then it is a matter of government. It's a matter of Mr. Plod coming in there and carting them all off in chains if necessary. But that isn't what we're talking about, and I don't think that's what these guys are talking about.
No, but the timing of it seems to
It's just that when you bound it up and you put the two... And that's what is so unpleasant about this, is because it's very difficult to then have a debate about the rightness or wrongness of what these guys have done, because you can't help but link it to the abuse cases and the abuse of the investigation, and I'm not certain that they are two separate things.
That's really, because it's unsavoury, isn't it?
It is.
I think. I mean, this is a horrible thing that we have to think about, because we do have to think about this. We can't just ignore it. We can't just think, oh, well, this happened in the past. We do have to. It does have to be foremost in our minds.
Yeah.
But also, as well, it does seem like a bit of like, well, quick, now's our chance to have a go at the Premier League. And now the Premier League are quite a good target to hit anyway, because let's face it, they're evil.
Well,
they're without doubt evil, aren't they?
Well, they're very successful.
Yes.
If that's what you mean.
They make a lot of money. Yeah.
Well, this is, I mean...
And they didn't get rich by writing checks, did they?
No, they didn't. I mean, I think there's... there's been a lot said here today by me as well, and a lot written today across the press about how bad the FA is. But just for one second to look at some of the good things that they've done, or one good thing they've done. If you go back to the late 1980s, when football was on its knees because of, there's several incidents I'm sure we're all familiar with. And they conceived the Premier League and injected... a whole load of talent and money and excitement, you have to say, back into the English game, and actually got it back on its feet. The interesting thing about that is that there's two sides to that coin, isn't there? Because potentially the Premier League is actually part of the problem that sees us without any kind of chance of winning anything major. Because of the lack of English players coming through or getting a chance to come through.
Well, it wins lots of money, doesn't it?
That's a kind of winning.
Yeah.
Winning money is a kind of winning.
It is if you're a business. That's the only thing you're worried about, isn't it?
I think if you're looking at grassroots level and in terms of youth development, then that has always been the preserve of the clubs.
Yeah.
I think that if you...
For players who want to go on and become professional footballers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think that if you are, I think the prime responsibility of the FA is to cultivate the game at the other grassroots level.
Mm-hmm.
So making it an easy, accessible, and above all safe game for people at all ages to play. And so that does mean generating large sums of money, and it does mean providing as much as possible the facilities and giving subsidies to local authorities to keep these pitches open. Mm-hmm. And all of that can be included in there.
Mm.
And I don't know whether or not the FA necessarily is able or is willing to do as much as they can do.
Mm.
And I certainly think that on the basis of inclusivity, I mean, getting more people who don't normally play football to play football, I think this is areas where they struggle with. And I think also there is some kind of broader responsibility in terms of getting people from ethnic minorities, people of colour and women and people of different genders and sexualities involved in the game, either at an administrative level, mm-hmm. or at a spectator level or at a playing level. I don't think anything like enough has been done for that whatsoever.
Mm.
And I think that it then really becomes difficult for them to have any claim to be the national game if they're not really doing that.
Then perhaps this is the positive thing that comes out of this, and perhaps this is actually to say, well, look, this has to come from within because there's no other way it's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
The house has to be put in order. You can have as many threats to do that from government, but really we all know that's not going to happen because it hasn't happened yet and it's not going to be.
And they've got no power.
The Premier League won't want to change anything. They're quite happy with the way things are going at the moment.
Yeah.
They probably think, well, actually, we could actually just claw back a few million quid that we actually give you.
Yes.
Hmm.
But I think there's a feeling of government being filled, well, certain ministers wanted to be seen to be doing things, taking proactive steps rather than actually doing anything about it. I think we see a lot in politics anyway, don't we?
Yeah.
No. Well, that in itself is self-interest, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because that you know
that's politics, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I'm trying to do something about it, but I'm not really trying to do something about it. I'm just actually putting my name out there as someone who says these types of things.
I'm getting on the front page.
Well, yeah, exactly, and that's part of the kind of the whole institution around this. I mean, it's just jobs for the boys, and if you've got that many, and solely the boys, it seems as well, and if you've got that many people that are of a certain age, they've got a cushy job that they effectively can't get sacked from, or it's very difficult for that to happen. They're on a gravy train, and they have been for a number of years, and they've presided over a period of over 50 years where we haven't won anything on the international stage. Greg Dyke talked about it being like going back to 1952, and just some things I noticed when I was doing some research for this. The address for the FA at Wembley Stadium is P.O. Box 1966. And their telephone number has got 1863 at the end of it as well, which is when they were formed. Now, if that's not an organisation that's living in the past, I don't know what is.
Yeah, it's one thing to be proud of your heritage, but it's another thing,
I mean, 1966 almost should be banned. You shouldn't be allowed to talk about it.
But then again, you get that at every club, don't you? You get the whole hubristic sort of adoration of things that have gone on in the past, haven't you?
You do, but I think when it's the only thing you've ever done, I mean that, it's not within most people's lifetimes.
To be fair, it's not the only thing the FA have done. They did invent the game, so that's it is
codified it. Yeah. No, totally. I know what you're saying. Yeah. I mean, I didn't. I should add to my list, obviously, promoting coaching as well, which is something that St George's Park is, and the FA needs to generate and create more coaches. And, one of those things, again, is by presumably subsidising the coaching fees as well, which is very expensive. And it's going to be even more expensive when there are no doubt, because I'm sure that one thing that the law that the government can do is they can introduce further legislation for enhanced security checks for people, particularly working with children, because it would seem that that is not enough. It is worth pointing out, of course, that these are the individuals so far, the people up that we know about, are people who are employees of actual football clubs and not employees of the FA necessarily, although I can understand. We have yet to find out what there is.
Sure.
And I think that brings it on to the clubs themselves. Do you think that perhaps this Gang of Five might well be working in some kind of consort with representatives within the the Premier League? Do you suspect a plot?
I don't think so. I think they.
You think the Premier League are happy with
the sound? The sounds that they're making seems to be anti-Premier League, and the Premier League has issued a defensive statement well today. I think you know, but then again, the Premier League are not gonna change their position. They have no need to, and the Premier League as well is stronger because it's only 20 clubs. It's only 20 clubs and Richard Scudamore, and that's it. And it sort of sits within the FA. The FA is just this huge behemoth can't react quickly. It can't change. But when really, I mean, the Premier League just huddle together, come up with an idea, and then they'll say, right, this is what we're going to do. Do you know what I think? The best way, if the government did want to get involved, if the government really did mean that they want more money going from the Premier League to the grassroots level of football, don't go after the Premier League, go after the broadcasters. If you said, okay, right, yeah, you can have your license to show live sport, but here's a levy, 1% of your bid has to go to
that would be interesting to see
sport.
Whether or not that
could... across all sports.
Yeah. It would be really interesting to see whether or not that it's possible to pass a law where that would be possible.
Well, if it was under the broadcasting, it was done
under
communication.
It's not, FIFA can't be upset with them for interfering.
Yeah.
It'll never happen, of course, because
of course
the broadcasters...
because the media have more power than anyone.
Yeah. I mean, and the broadcasters, they have so much power that's just out of the question. Mm-hmm. You'd only need... Ultimately, it goes back to FA reform as well. You remember a little while ago we've had conversations about concerns about Team GB and that it might be the thin end of the wedge.
Yeah.
And I think we agreed at the time that you can't ever persuade people to do something they don't want to do.
No.
And you would not be able to persuade the combined British FAs to merge into a single FA and field a single British team.
Yeah. Something that simple. You'll never be able
to get them to do it. Yeah. And you'll never be able to get the FA to do anything. You can't go in there. The only thing you can do is intervene to such a level that you could end up getting expelled by FIFA.
Yeah.
And that has happened with other federations.
Yeah.
But it's not supposed to happen in countries like Britain because we're supposed to be stronger than that. Yeah. Yeah. I can only imagine that what's happening here is that there is an attempt to shame the long-standing influential people within the FA Council and the board, shame them into stepping down and handing over to someone with a more of a reformist agenda, or just shaming them into taking some kind of action themselves.
I'm quite conscious that we've got half an hour into this now. We should be winding up the conversation now. But we've gone through all this time, and we haven't mentioned fans at all. No fan group or fan representation hasn't been mentioned, which is a good thing, because we're talking about football and not fans.
Mm.
And I know a lot of fans will say, well, without fans, football's nothing. But we've said that what's the most important thing about grassroots level is actually playing football and getting kids to play football rather than actually having people on the sidelines telling them how crap they are.
Yeah.
So it's fans do have an important place in football.
In clubs.
But with running the game, it is about getting football played, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, everybody is a fan, right?
Yes.
If you're volunteering to grassroots level.
That's giving something to football. That's being a fan of football rather than just being a partisan.
Giving up your time to turn up with a bunch of cones on some, you know, really crappy sort of like flooded field on a Sunday morning to teach a bunch of you know, 8-year-olds, you know, how to play football. That's what being a fan is, right? Mm. That's being a proper supporter.
Yeah. So well, that's taking over and above watching it.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
So So if you're talking about fans in terms of spectators, then no. Yeah. I mean, their role is to be much closer to their clubs. And I do, on a very serious note, I do feel that fans can play a very important role in oversight of clubs and what goes on with clubs. And I think, again, in light of what we are confronted, the truths that we are confronted with, then going forward as a way of trying to prevent this, you could include fans in this, because, you know, these clubs are also community hubs, and, you know, it's not out of the question that fans might be able to help to prevent these kind of things in ways that maybe, you know, the law might not be able to.
Mm.
And I think that fans can play a role in that. I think that that's quite important. But in terms of development of grassroots football, no, if you're talking about fans as the angry dad standing on the touchline, no, in fact, the further away from the touchline those guys are, the better. But I don't think realistically we are we?
Not really, no. Well, I think we've actually said everything we need to about this. I mean, obviously, we've sorted this out in just half an hour. I don't know why the FA couldn't just get that done, really.
We should just get rid of that council and just put us three on it.
I think we'd make a bang-up job, too.
Yes, that's right, because what the world needs is more white blokes in positions of power. Yeah. That's really what the world needs right now.
We could call ourselves Three Lions.
You know, I have a feeling that in about 10, 15 years' time, there will be very few old white blokes running the world. That this might well be because we're all dead, because they've killed us all, or it might well be that there's been an absolute clear out, and which is a real shame because as a white bloke in his 40s, I was quite looking forward to
being an old
white bloke running stuff making a complete, for my own narrow self interest.
Yeah.
So, you know, thanks a lot, FA.
Yeah, because it's all their fault.
Because it's all their
ruined it for the rest of us.
2016, it's all FA's
fault. It's all, we're like, the likes of us will just be, you know, marginalised into, you know, turning up on recording podcasts every week that hardly anybody listens to.
And on that frankly honest point, I think it's time we brought this podcast to a close. But Terry, you're doing the newsletter this week, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, you've got Palace and Dortmund there. I wonder if they're going to make it to the final cut.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what to do about that.
I think you should. I think there are a couple of good games.
Are they
actually
on at the same time?
No, they're not.
They're not at the same time? No. Okay, so they will definitely be going in that case. Yeah. Thank you very much. Then I am actually chucking in a bonus match.
Are you?
I am going to. I realise
you're going for some Aussie football.
Well, no, I'm going. There's the Melbourne Derby, so I'm totally
definitely
doing
going
that.
There.
Going in there. But the following Wednesday is the final round of the Bundesliga season, and RB Leipzig are playing Bayern Munich. And that is going to be live on the television. So I'm going to attack that on as a bonus.
The final round of the
before the winter break.
Yeah.
Right.
I did wonder actually if you wanted to go up to the Zeitgeist for that one.
Yes, because I have the day off the next day. All right.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Should we do that?
Sounds good. So, see you there, listeners.
So from me, Graham Sibley, from Jan Bilton, and from Terry DeFillon, until next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
Advent calendar next week.
Advent calendar, thank God, some light relief. Because we're all assuming that 2017, they were going to be lovely. Because of this truly whacked out, perceived, managed way that we've been forced into looking at all the bad stuff that's been going on in the last 12 months.
Yeah. I think that's going to be door one, isn't it?
It's, yeah. Perception management.